Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
The healings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when we think in regard to the life of Christ, we see that the Bible identifies that Jesus was saw by many people to be very special. In fact, whenever you consider what the Old Testament prophets had said concerning the Messiah and His coming, people were excited that the Messiah would someday come into the world. But also, we learn from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 that He was going to be a very special individual in the fact that He was not going to be born in the same way in which humanity is normally born. That is, He was going to have a miraculous conception, and He was going to be brought forth from a virgin, and His name would be called Emmanuel, literally being interpreted, God with us. We understand that, no doubt, the one who realized how special Jesus was Mary, His mother. No doubt, while she was pregnant with Him, she would have realized that He was someone who was very special and had been sent forth from God. But also, as Jesus grew, the Scripture identifies for us, Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52, that Mary saw that Jesus was indeed not just your typical young man, that He was indeed a blessing sent forth from our God. The Bible also identifies for us that Jesus, when He was about the age of 30, began His personal ministry. It was at that time that the Bible says that He began to preach and to teach that repentance was necessary, and in that time frame, the reason was is because the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of our God, was at hand. Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of these record this very special event. We understand at the onset of His ministry that Jesus chose 12 apostles. These men were loved by our Lord, and these men were being trained by our Lord for the usage of them after His death at Calvary's cross. These men had the responsibility of preaching and teaching the Word of God and establishing the church, the Lord's church, there at Pentecost after His death, burial, and resurrection. While Jesus was here, He constantly reached out unto sinners. Good people, whenever we read through the New Testament Scripture, that is the Gospel accounts, we understand that Jesus was constantly in the presence of sinners. And while He was there, He was not condoning their sin. He was not in any way participating in their sin, but rather He was always teaching these individuals of the sin that they were committing and what it was that God was calling upon them to do in relation to repenting and turning to Him. In this, we see that Jesus taught boldly the Word of God. In fact, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7, Jesus taught multitudes of people who had come to hear Him. And as He taught, the Bible identifies that the people were so impressed with, no doubt, the things that He was teaching, but also the way in which He was teaching. You see, Jesus taught them as one having authority. Also, during the course of our Lord's life and personal ministry, the Bible identifies for us that Jesus performed amazing miracles. Whenever we think in regard to the miracles of Jesus, we need to understand that His miracles are not at all comparable to the things that people call miracles today. For instance, people will hear of a child being born and they will go maybe and see that child and how beautiful the child is, and they will say, that child is a miracle. That birth is a miracle. Good people, that's not at all what the Bible identifies concerning true biblical miracles. Whenever our Lord and Savior performed miracles, the Bible tells us that these miracles had an immediate result. It did not take time for the healing to come forth. It did not take time for that which Jesus had performed as a miracle to take place, but rather it happened instantaneously. Also, we understand that the miracles that Jesus performed, they were always before many witnesses. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, Jesus fed a multitude of people, 5,000 people, was there and able to partake of the miracle and to speak in reference to the fact that Jesus had certainly performed a miracle before them. But also, when we think about the miracles of Christ, the miracles of Christ were complete. We understand Mark chapter 1 verse 40 through 45 that Jesus had healed a man who had leprosy. And whenever Jesus healed this man of leprosy, it was complete. The man had not only his health back, but he has his life back. He's able to go back out in society and to be surrounded by his family, friends, and those citizens of the area of which he was in Galilee. But yet at the same time, the Bible does identify for us that there was one time in Mark chapter 8 and verse 22 through 25 where the miracle was not complete, but rather it took two steps for the miracle to be complete. In that, some skeptics want to question Jesus' ability, and in fact they make fun of his miracle there. Jesus was healing a blind man, and this man was not born blind. How do I know? The Scripture infers this by saying that whenever the man receives partial sight back, he sees things as trees. And good people, how would he know what a tree looked like if he had been born blind? And I believe that from necessary entrance, we can conclude that the man had not been born blind, but rather at some point in his life he became blind. And in this, though, Jesus then, in part two of the miracle, allows the man to see perfectly. Now, why did he do that? In all of that, some people say that it was done to show the power and the control that Jesus has upon things of this earth and upon His performing miracles. And I believe certainly we can draw that conclusion. But maybe it was also done for the apostles who had spent time with Him, but yet at the same time they had failed to see clearly, and Jesus was using this individual and his ability to only see partially, and then later to see clearly, to help these men see clearly who Jesus was and what He was capable of. You know, when we think in regard to the miracles of Jesus, the miracles He performed was very vital to His ministry. It was very important to the things that He came to do during the course of His life here. In fact, we understand from the book of Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Jesus healed a paralytic, which was our Scripture reading just a few moments ago. In this, Jesus had been in Galilee preaching and teaching the Word of God. In that, He had been casting out demons, and we just said that He had healed this man who had leprosy. And the Bible tells us then that He came again into Capernaum. He had been there before, and now Jesus has returned to Capernaum in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. And as He enters into Capernaum, word went out, and whenever word went out that Jesus had come to town, and in the context that Jesus was in the house, the Scripture says that a great multitude of people came and gathered themselves into the room to where there was no longer room in the house and not even near the door. Good people, in all of this, Jesus took advantage of the opportunity that was before Him to preach and to teach again to the souls of mankind the good news that God was going to supply for them, but not only for them, for all of humanity, that salvation was being brought forth into the world through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In regard to this paralytic, we understand also is that four men came carrying this man. In that, the Bible identifies for us in Mark chapter 2, is that as they came upon the house, the crowd was so large that they were hindered. They were not able to go into the house where they knew, they had faith, they trusted that if they were able to get to Jesus, that Jesus would heal this man by performing a miracle upon him, something that no one else had been able to do. But they turned and they put their trust and confidence that Jesus would be able to do it. And I can only imagine that as they came upon the house and they saw the crowd and that there was no way that they were going to be able to get in to see Jesus, that the wheels started turning in their mind. And these men were committed. The Bible tells us that in this, that they had gone and they started to break through. And they started to break through the roof of the house so that they could get to Jesus. And these people were very passionate about what they were doing. They knew again that Jesus could heal the man. And likely, they had feelings for this individual that they were carrying. They loved this individual and they wanted him to have his life back as well. in all of this, the Bible tells us that they were successful in breaking through the roof and letting the man down to see Jesus. Can you imagine the scene inside? Jesus there teaching and preaching to the multitude who was there, and then all at once, you know, the roof is partially gone and somebody's being lowered down. I would imagine that Jesus probably just looked up, and whenever he looked up, you know, everyone else probably starts to look up, and as the man starts to lower, maybe Jesus starts to gravitate over to where he is. And in all of this, good people, we understand is that this man is healed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus saw the faith, not of the man, but of the individuals who had been carrying him. And the first thing that Jesus does is he says, "Your sins are forgiven you." Why did he forgive the man's sins? Over healing him physically. Good people, we need to understand, as what I believe Jesus wanted these people to realize, is that this man needed a much greater healing than that of his physical infirmities. He needed to be restored. He needed to be right with God. And for that reason, he healed him. He forgave this man of his sins. But then, in like figure, he healed the man's infirmities. He indeed had compassion upon him. And he gave this man his precious life back. But also, he gave this man his soul. He gave him an opportunity to be right with our God. How did the people of the day respond? The Bible identifies for us from the context of Luke or Mark chapter 2 in verse 1 through 12 is that the people were perplexed. In fact, in the context we understand is that the scribes of the day, they were very critical with Jesus. They accused him. In that, I find it interesting that not only do we find criticism today amongst people, but criticism was there. The Pharisees did it with Christ, and now we understand that the scribes are there. And they were very quick to say, as they were reasoning within themselves, they were not only reasoning within themselves. Why do I say that? Because they're asking and inquiring of one another in their reasoning and their heart. And it says, "Why does this man speak blasphemous like this?" He had just said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven you." And they look to the words of Christ and they say, "He's speaking blasphemous words." Why? Why would they have said that Jesus was speaking blasphemous words? Because they realize that only God has the power to forgive sin. And therefore, whenever Jesus forgave sin, what is it that he was identifying himself as or who? He was identifying himself as deity. The Bible tells us that Jesus knew their hearts. Wouldn't it be wonderful to see the hearts of people today? To just know what people are thinking? I contend that sometimes that would be great, but sometimes I'm not sure that I would want to know what people are thinking. It might just scare me to death. Sometimes I want to know what Dawn's thinking, and other times I'm like, maybe I don't want to know so much. Jesus was able to see the hearts of these individuals, and what he saw in regard to their hearts is that their hearts was out just against him. And in all of this, though Jesus proved beyond a shadow of a doubt his deity. Good people, in regard to all of this, I find it interesting that some people look to this miracle and other miracles and the healings of Christ and they say, Jesus, if he existed, they question his existence. If he existed, he didn't heal all of those people. And in healing people, that would have required miracles. And he didn't have the ability to perform miracles. Is it reasonable to conclude that truly Jesus did indeed perform miracles? Good people, I stand before you tonight to tell you that Jesus truly performed miracles during the course of his life here. And we can go away from here tonight, and I trust that most here already have that confidence to know that whenever they read about the miracles of Christ, they believe it to be true. Why? How can we believe that the miracles of Christ are true? Because the Bible says very clearly, emphatically, that Jesus performed miracles during the course of his life here. And because the Bible is the inspired, complete, inerrant Word of God, and because God then therefore says that Jesus performed miracles, then we can conclude that indeed it is true that he performed miracles during the course of his life here. but also understand in the context here of Mark chapter 2 and even beyond. Think about the enemies of Jesus. Did He have any enemies? Oh, good people, He had many enemies. He had more enemies than you could shake a stick at. He had more enemies than you and I will ever imagine having, I think anyway, here in this world. And the enemies that Jesus had, they did not question His ability to perform miracles. In fact, they were so taken back that a miracle had been performed, that something supernatural had taken place, is that they wanted to attribute the working of His miracles to Beelzebub. Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 32. In reality, they were saying that He was doing these things by the power of Satan. But understand this, they knew that there was a great power behind what it was that He was doing. Jesus indeed performed miracles. The apostles also taught that He had performed miracles during the course of His life here, and they spoke there at Pentecost concerning the great signs that He had performed before them, and how that these things should have served as a testimony to the fact that He is indeed the Son of the living God, that He is the Messiah, that it is only through Him that salvation can be brought forth. Good people, in regard to the miracles that Christ performed, what do we see were the results of these miracles? Amazing things always happened. We understand that as Jesus went out to heal people, Jesus was always successful in healing people. And here in the context of Mark chapter 2, the man's sins were forgiven. So when Jesus performed miracles, people benefited from it, from a physical as well as from a spiritual standpoint. But also people were amazed and astonished. Why is it that Jesus performed miracles during the course of His life here? Good people, I contend that Jesus performed miracles to demonstrate the loving kindness of our God. But also, He performed miracles to substantiate His deity. But then in like figure, to develop belief or faith in the recipients of those who had searching hearts. Jesus amazed people and they were astonished by the things that He was able to do during the course of His life here. But then in like figure today, people can gain faith because of the miracles that Christ performed. Understand, there are no modern miracles. They have ceased. But we're able to turn to the Holy Scripture today. We're able to turn to the inspired Word of God. We're able to turn to the records that we have before us, such as Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and to read these miracles, to read these acts or actions of our Lord during the course of His life here. And that ought to develop faith within us. How so? Where does our faith come from? Paul taught in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, the miracles that Jesus performed, as John wrote concerning the miracles, there are seven specific in the Gospel of John. He says that these things are recorded that you might believe. You see, as we read and study from the Bible concerning the healings of Christ, the miracles of Christ, and the entirety of our Lord and Savior's life, our God wants you and me to believe upon our Lord and Savior. Tonight I ask the question, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God? Do you also believe that He is and that He was able to perform the miracles while He was here, that He was able to heal people during the course of His life here? But also understand that today He's able to offer a healing that you may need tonight. What is that healing? That healing is a spiritual healing. That healing is the forgiveness of sins that only Jesus Himself is able to perform. That only Jesus Himself is able to extend the forgiveness of our God. Tonight, are you willing and ready? Are you willing and ready to demonstrate your belief in our Lord and Savior by submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins?